broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Hour 1, we had a big discussion about the Donald, about the State of the Union speech. Overall, I think it was a very good speech. 75% of folks thought it was good. The Democrats are melting down. Nothing Donald could do.
Yeah, and the 75%, Sam, was amazing to me. It was reported by CBS.
Well, they have to report it, Curtis. We'll catch them at it, and they'll get embarrassed.
I know,
they're being forced to admit the truth now. Their gatekeeping manipulative days are going away, my friend.
That they would have that, it's right on their kind of like front page.
Amen to that.
Views of speech among speech watchers, 75% approve, 25% disprove, and that's a margin of error of plus or minus 3 points. I just thought it was surprising to see CBS do that.
Amen to that. I took one line from the speech that I thought was the most beneficial, the most uniting, the most valuable. That I don't really see how you as an American can disagree with this, but here we go. In America, we know that faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the center of American life. In God we trust. Americans love their country and deserve a government that shows them the same love and loyalty in return. Boy, do I agree with those statements. Anyway, there's some concerns in the speech, but overall, on the whole, I thought it was a good speech. And I thought it was... Well, it was pretty docile from the Donald. There's one area that I really wish Donald would have done more in, Kurt. And that is this pro-life message. You know, he did talk about the adoptive parents and talked about adoption and how precious life is and reliance on God. I mean, he did do a little bit there. But in my opinion, it would really have been a chance to build on the pro-life message. Some claim he's the most pro-life president in history. I'm not sure I'd go there, but I will say that he's been very valuable, very instrumental in advancing the pro-life message, and good on the president for doing so. However, I really believe we should have highlighted that more, and I want to do that more this hour a little bit. Last broadcast, yesterday, we talked about all these states of the best state and the worst state in the union and what is their criteria and what criteria would I use. I mentioned that I would use God, family, and country. And protection of life, liberty, and property is my kind of pillars of what make a great state. And, I think that Utah and Idaho, Wyoming, and some of the states in the South are probably the closest to that that I can find. Very religious, very family-oriented states. Those are, good news. One of the interesting things is there's people now releasing a pro-life kind of idea. In other words, which state is the most pro-life? What is the most pro-life and what is the most pro-death? U.S. states in the union, and where does your state rank, Kurt? Did you see this discussion point?
No.
I think this is important. I sent you an email on this about 24 hours ago for you to review.
I'll look it over.
And I think this is important to kind of understand. What are the most pro-life states, Kurt? Do you know? Which state is the most pro-life? And which one they say are the most pro-abortion states, but I changed it to pro-death states. And I think this is something that President Trump really should have highlighted more. I think we could have got a real, primetime focus on the pro-life message. I don't think there's a more important piece in America than this pro-life agenda, Kurt. I really don't. I don't think there's a more important piece than pro-life. Matt Staver over at Liberty Counsel emailed me and he said, Sam, we don't cry wolf. There are times when getting straight to the point is the most effective communication. We don't cry wolf. And then they say they're in a financial need as they fight for pro-life and fight for this and that. I get it. World Net Daily needs money. Liberty Counsel needs money. We need money. Everybody needs funding, Kurt. And yes. I understand that. But what state is the most pro-life state,
Well, they say that Arizona
Yeah.
is. Then they've got Arkansas as number two, and this is according to the well, it looks like Americans United for Life.
Now, they don't pick the states together. That I might pick, but they do highlight the Rocky Mountains in the South, don't they? Just like I said, different states would be their
Arizona,
preference.
Arkansas, you know. Oklahoma, Louisiana, Kansas, South Dakota, Mississippi, Georgia, Michigan, Missouri are the top 10 most pro-life, they say, followed up by Pennsylvania, Texas, Nebraska, Indiana, North Dakota, Ohio, Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, Virginia. That's number 20, South Carolina, 21, Idaho, 22, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Utah, number 25,
so really
Florida.
The South is highlighted big time. The Rocky Mountains highlighted big time. Some of the Midwest highlighted big time. You know, again, this kind of, it wasn't the exact order that I mentioned, but I mentioned those three highlighted areas as well. None of them are on the east or the west coast that I see except for Carolina. You know, the liberal places for the most part are not included too much. You know, primarily it's what? Red states, Kurt, not blue states, pretty much?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
All right, so that's kind of interesting. I brought that up, though, because if we're going to discuss it, pro-life is important. You know, I don't understand why they would say Utah's like in the middle of pro-life, though. Is Utah really that bad, Kurt?
I don't know. I'm not sure what, you know, stuff they use.
Well, I know this. The primary target for Planned Parenthood is to kill all the blacks, Kurt. I mean, it's a really racist organization. There's not a whole lot of blacks in Utah, though.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not in any way meaning that to be a negative statement or whatever, as much as to say that, you know, it's interesting. We should make sure that our states are pro-life, though, folks. That's something that we really need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I was a little bit disappointed in the speech that we didn't highlight the pro-life battle more, Kurt. I think we really should have highlighted that and really said, hey, we could have used some facts about what science shows about pro-life and about the nation, for the most part, is pro-life now. And these partial birth murders are abusive and hostile and hate-filled, and that we're one in seven nations. I mean, we've got partners like North Korea and communist China that we're involved with in this. And, you know, the majority of nations have a much more pro-life message than America does. There's a lot Donald could have really highlighted there that could have made a tremendous difference. In my mind, it was a missed opportunity, Kurt. It really was. In other words, he talked a whole lot more abortion than pro-life, a whole lot more about infrastructure and rebuilding America and all the successes he's had last year, the third longest speech in history. But he didn't focus on this pro-life thing. And if we really want God's blessing, if we really want to make America great again, I'm telling you, it starts with this pro-life piece, Kurt. It just does.
Yeah. It's you got to admit, though, if you're talking about trying to get some way to, you know, work with the evil enemy from the other side, you know, when you look at it with the whole Republican Democrat thing, that's one of the things that, you know, I guess you could say ticks them off more than anything else. You know, I wonder if as efforts behind the scenes or whatever, or you know, off camera are better in that area.
Well, we know
they are
because of the accomplishments that he's already made, Kurt. That's, I think, beyond debate. I think your point's well taken. That's true.
It's a better, maybe, mode of action, if you will. You know, some of the other things on the President's State of the Union that I found interesting, you know, they talk about, he said, our massive tax cuts provide tremendous relief for the middle class and small businesses. To lower tax rates for hardworking Americans, we nearly doubled the standard deduction for everyone. Now the first $24,000 earned by a married couple is completely tax-free. We also doubled the child tax credit. A typical family of four making $75,000 will see their tax bill reduced by $2,000, slashing their tax bill in half. This April will be the last time you ever file under the old broken system, and millions of Americans will have more take-home pay starting next month. We eliminated an especially cruel tax that fell mostly on Americans making less than $50,000 a year, forcing them to pay tremendous penalties simply because they could not afford government-ordered health plans. We repealed the core of disastrous Obamacare. The individual mandate is now gone. Anyway, those are all some pretty good stuff, if you ask me. Now, when you bring in this record amount of tax dollars and still go in the hole, or in other words, because you haven't reduced spending, then that's a problem, if you ask me. But.
All right, there you have it. Moving on to other topics, ladies and gentlemen. We've got three senators endorsing a candidate in Montana. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Sam McCurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul are all aligned in supporting this guy from Montana, huh, Kurt? Give us the details.
Well, yeah, Sam, this is a Breitbart piece, and I just didn't know about this guy. The guy's name is Matt Rosendale. I guess he's going to be going up against Senator John Tester, Democrat up there in Montana. Rand Paul has endorsed this Montana rancher, and he's also a state auditor. He said, Matt Rosendale is a type of fearless defender of liberty. I want fighting by my side in the Senate. Matt has proven himself a bold defender of our constitutional rights, and he will make an excellent addition to the Senate. Rosendale said in his statement that he was deeply honored to earn Senator Paul's support and pledged to stand with Senator Paul to advocate for civil liberties and a limited government. Wow, not an unlimited government. Anyway, Rosendale said, I am deeply honored to have Senator Paul's support. I will stand with Rand as an unwavering advocate for civil liberties and limited federal government. We need more senators like Rand Paul who mean business and have the backbone to stand up to the D.C. status quo. He added this, supporters of liberty of all types must band together to defeat John Tester, who has embraced the worst that Washington, D.C. has to offer. It's time to elect a serious defender of our freedoms to the Senate who means business. I guess he remains the sole Montana Republican primary candidate to have current members of the U.S. Senate endorse his campaign. Then he's also got 30 or so or more Montana elected officials that have endorsed him. And like you said, Senator Cruz and Senator Mike Lee have also endorsed him as well.
Matt Rosendale, Montana. Hopefully he'll be the next senator, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty good endorsement by three people that I think are, you know, again, I don't agree with them perfectly. I probably agree with Rand Paul the most, Mike Lee second, and, you know, Ted Cruz third. But all I can tell you is when those three are aligned and backing somebody, even if he's not the perfect candidate, that may be enough mojo to get him rocking and a rolling, especially if they'll go on the campaign trail and use their, quote, PACs to help raise money for Mr. Matt Rosendale. Our prayers are with him, Kurt.
Yeah.
We need more good people that will stand together shoulder to shoulder in the Senate for what really matters. Rand Paul really promoting pro-life, really promoting less government, really promoting spending cuts. Rand's doing a bang-up job, and he doesn't get enough coverage, that's for sure. All right, Kurt, all five FCC commissioners have come out in opposition to or against the, quote, nationalization of 5G. Did you see this, or do you know what all this is about? Do you understand this?
A little bit. I guess President Trump mentioned something about doing that, and at least these guys are kind of holding back.
Yeah, let's back up what 5G means. So what 5G means is an infrastructure for the internet that would be next generation. So you got 3G, 4G, 5G. It just relates to the quality of the internet connectivity, wirelessly speaking, with wireless carriers like, you know, cell companies, etc. Okay, and so basically the private sector has rolled out kind of the 2G, 3G, 4G kind of stuff. They're talking about having a federal government control of 5G, saying, hey, we really got to make this fair and open and da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, all five FCC commissioners say that's a bad idea. I hope that Donald gets stuck off stupid on this one and decides not to do it, Kurt.
Yeah.
We don't need government control on the internet, folks, or the rollout of the infrastructure by any means. Now, some would say it's vital and necessary, but whenever we've seen government get involved in this, Kurt, it's nothing but a disaster, a fiasco.
Good point.
And it's surprising to me that all five FCC commissioners say it's a bad idea, Kurt. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know what's going on there. I haven't seen that. But I again, you know what? When they're right, they're right, Kurt. I don't know if these guys are liberal or conservative or who they are. Don't care. The principle's right that it's not a good idea. So I'm against the nationalization of 5G as well, Kurt.
Yeah.
But I say let the private sector and let competition, you know what, beat a better mousetrap to our door. Let 5G roll out private sector style, and let's bring on the next gen of the internet, Kurt.
Good point, Sam.
I'm all for that, you know. Now, there's a headline, Kurt, that I thought I'd let you respond. You're kind of our health nut correspondent. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought I'd have you kind of respond to this headline. 50,000 Americans expected to die by the end of flu season, Kurt. They're predicting mass flu death here. It looks like they got the wrong strain in the flu vaccine, and it's only like 30% effective now. And as a result, people are just going to be dying in mass, up to 50,000, they claim, because of the flu. Do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
I think this is more of that whole fake news thing so many times. But what they're really doing is trying to sell, you know, flu vaccines, Sam.
They're trying to sell 30% effective flu vaccine?
Well, yeah, because
70% not effective flu vaccine, Kurt.
Well,
I can flip a coin and do better than that, my friend.
Yeah, and I would suggest the way you can do better than that, ladies and gentlemen, is avoid the flu vaccine altogether. Make sure you are careful with your diet, careful with your rest, your exercise, you know, things like that. You know, stay away from danger zones like government schools, you know, that kind of thing. You know, those are ways, I'd recommend fighting.
And my question to them is, how many of these deaths will be caused by the vaccine and or the flu that results from the vaccine, Kurt? Two. Nobody's keeping track of that, but somebody needs to be. And if it's 70% not effective and people are spending money and taking the jab, and you know, I mean, the flu kind of catches on. People get sick and get the flu and things from this vaccination, right? Let's not pretend it's just like, for sure, it may not do as good as we want, but there's never any harm in it. Let's not believe that lie, Kurt. See, that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe, well, take it or not, it's not very effective this year, but there's no harm in taking it. Kind of mentality. I reject that notion. How much of the flu is caused by the flu vaccine? How many people will die because of the flu vaccine? Nobody's tracking any of that piece of this discussion. What we do know is they admit that it's 70% not effective. But yet they keep pushing it like that's the answer, buddy. You don't want to get the flu, you don't want to die, then, you know, take the jab. See? I don't believe the lie, Kurt, on this one. And I, you know, I think there might be a lot of people die from it. But here's the question. How can we reduce that number? I don't see anybody in the stories that are all crying wolf or acting like the sky is falling on this thing. I don't see anybody pointing out the solutions that you pointed out, Kurt, which are, you know what, make sure you're very careful in your diet and your exercise and your sleep and your rest and, you know, get plenty of fluids and liquids and avoid sugars and don't take the vaccine. And dude, how many people are given guidelines to try to reduce that number, Kurt? Effective solutions that could really reduce the number of deaths due to flu. Is anybody focusing on that? I see all these articles about this, but I don't see anybody trying to give people common sense solutions. They're just saying spend money on the jab or you're going to probably be dead. I mean, they're crazy, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, but, you know, I mean, there's money to be made there.
Avoid the government schools. In other words, hey, stay away from crowds with the flu. They say the Super Bowl might be the biggest flu mecca ever, Kurt.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Super Bowl spreading the super flu.
Mm-hmm.
Folks are just super stupid. You know, all I'm telling you is, look, what can be done about it? What ways could we reduce the flu, the spreading of and the severity of, et cetera? What things can we do? There's so many, in my opinion, answers here, Kurt, but nobody's talking about them but us. Are they? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you see in the news anybody really talking about this and saying, hey, headline says 50,000 Americans expected to die by the end of flu season? And then they're only talking about the vaccine. Is there anybody talking about answers and ways to reduce the severity of the flu, ways to strengthen the immune system, ways to prevent the spread or reduce the spreading of this? Is there anybody really focused on that, Kurt? I don't really see anybody in the news that I see.
No, I don't see it.
Isn't that where they ought to focus, Kurt?
Yeah.
Or you just got to leave it to Solutions Radio to get that done or what?
Yeah.
All right. Any other advice for folks?
Well, if they get that done, you know, they could, I mean, certainly do, well, you'd call them, now they call them, additives or whatever, but I would suggest vitamins and minerals, a good source of those different things. You know, the rest part doesn't get highlighted enough, in my opinion, but, you know, everybody feels like you're a wimp if you rest. If you rest any time, almost there's a certain time when you can. But when it's okay to do that, like if you sleep in way long till like noon, then that's all cool. But if you take like a nap, you know, then you're a wimp. But I would recommend you know, all that kind of stuff. Eating good stuff, you know. Hey. Eat some good raw honey instead of the sugar and whatever, you know, so that you can have the sweet. But
there are a lot of answers. Either. A lot of the ND naturopathic medicine folks, you know, have a lot of the answers here, too, by the way. Washing your hands often, staying away from folks when you're sick. There's an interesting thing that we do in America. I'll tell you about it in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So they say 50,000 people are going to die by the end of flu season this year. The vaccine not very effective, 70% non-effective. But they just pitch promoting the vaccination for money. What we ought to do is focus on health and, as Kurt Wisely says, getting adequate sleep, plenty of rest. We don't give enough attention to rest as we ought. You know, eating well, making sure you get nutrition, herbs and vitamins, plenty of sleep, plenty of good, clean, you know, liquids, water and such. And so rest, adequate nutrition, adequate hydration. Some of the key points, washing your hands often. But one thing that I notice in society we do, we think in our society we can't miss anything, Kurt. So people go half dead places. They're super sick and they go everywhere. And they basically say, oh, well, by the time I realize I'm sick, it's already too late. I won't get people sick now. I'm, you know, mostly over it. But I kind of see the Walking Dead running around oftentimes, Kurt, where, you know, people need to stay away longer. If you're sick, you know what? Part of it is you want to be out of society so you can rest. But you also want to be out of society so that you don't spread the disease to people. And a lot of people think that, hey, by the time I realize that I'm sick, it's probably too late. I've already spread it. And, well, it's not going to do any good to stay home. I think we got to stay home more and have less involvement with people and crowds and places. When people get sick, I think we could stop a lot of the spread of it if we would, you know, voluntarily stay home more often. I also think that the naturopath folks have a lot of good guidance for these things, Kurt, that doesn't require the flu shot or these things. And I really think if that many people are going to die, we really ought to politely talk about solutions for this, Kurt. And I don't hear anybody else talking about it. Any other comments on this?
Well, you know, there's a big story about Pfizer expanding their operations. And you got to remember, Sam, there's so much money in the drug world. And when I say that, I don't mean just the illegal drugs, but the legal drug world.
Yeah, Donald took a beating. He said he wanted to decrease the cost of drugs last night, and he said that we pay more in America than in any other country does, and we got to really work on that. And he got a beating over that too, Kurt.
Yeah, Well, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying is you think about the military-industrial complex that we've got to be concerned about. Well, the pharmaceutical-industrial complex has got to be, if not the most powerful, it's very close, don't you think?
Amen to that. All right, Kurt, did you see the news? I guess Chris Christie got a new gig. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. You know, Brother
Kurt,
Christie.
How do you miss this?
Yeah, well, he is kind of big and hard to miss. I understand that.
Heard that.
I'm just talking about I didn't know what is he doing radio like?
Well, kind of. It's a little better than that of a gig. It's probably plenty of money, but the revolving door is live and well is the reason we bring it up. Chris Christie is going to be a talking head on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a new gig as a talking head on ABC, they claim.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, he certainly got the connections and can get the interviews, I suppose, you know, that kind of stuff.
He might be getting
That's
emotional.
One more reason for me not to watch ABC. I mean, I got plenty of them, but that's nice of him to give me one more.
Yeah, this lady was denied her emotional support by United Airlines, Kurt.
Yeah, Sam, I've never seen this. I've seen people, you know, have a little dog or a cat, maybe even a rabbit. You know, I've seen, you know, a lot of ways that people, I mean, like a little, their special blanket they carry if they're really concerned with things, or maybe they're, I mean, they need emotional support. I've just never seen a peacock as an emotional support animal. But anyway, yeah, the Fox News boys have this headline, woman denied emotional support peacock on United flight. Maybe if it was an NBC thing, they would allow it, right, Sam? You know how the peacock used to be an NBC thing. But anyway, they say birds of a feather may flock together, but United Airlines recently shot down one traveler's request to bring her emotional support peacock on a flight departing Newark Liberty International Airport. Live and Let Fly reported earlier this week that even though the unidentified woman claimed that she had a second ticket for the peacock, the airline denied her request. I mean,
well, would you rather be on that airline or this next airline, Kurt? I think Kurt wants to be on this next airline with the football players, is what Kurt
wants. I'm off that one. You know, when you see this next headline, Sam, don't you think, like, let me just read the headline to you. And this is a Drudge headline, so, but it says, airline, quote, sorry for bikini-clad display by flight attendants. Now, if you read that headline, where do you think this airline is from, Sam?
Well, you naturally think it's in America because it doesn't say that it's elsewhere. But I know better because I read the article.
Well, I know, but, I mean, right off, you're thinking, you know, somewhere in what part of America would this be?
Southwest
New York,
has the chicks
LA,
rolling,
you know,
is what you're thinking.
Something like that. Yeah. But this is like a Vietnam thing, and I guess what happened was apparently you had some guys from some football game where they lost. I mean, and I guess the flight attendants were trying to cheer them up. I don't get that, you know. Cheer them up, give them, like, instead of just water, give them, like, an orange juice, you know what I mean? Something like that. But anyway.
Kurt, you just don't know how to roll out the love, buddy.
I guess not.
Now, here's what I find fascinating. While we in America act like there's sexual harassment everywhere, And I get that sexual harassment's wrong, folks, okay? But there's a line there. Well, we're uber, like, psychotic on that. And everybody's sexually harassing everybody, supposedly. The Muslims are running around going, you can't even see a woman's, like, arm or something.
Right.
Okay, and then in the middle, you got these Vietnamese going, hey, we're going to literally have these half-naked women running around your flight. And then when people protest, they're going to be like, sorry, didn't mean that. Now, I don't know about these women, but were they forced to, like, get in bikinis for this?
I didn't read any.
How do you have this
interviews.
Weirdo discussion? And no offense, but, you know, if I'm on the plane and my wife's there, then I'm super uncomfortable with this bikini-clad lady serving me drinks or whatever's going on.
Yeah.
And my wife's not there, then I'm feeling even worse.
Even more. Yeah, that's right.
Good point. Because I'm going, if my wife's there, it's totally uncomfortable. If my wife's not there, then I'm feeling like...
worse.
I mean, I shouldn't even be here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I shouldn't be there even if my wife's there. All I'm saying is that at least I'm with the woman of my dreams, and at least, you know, she knows what's going on and, you know, everything. But when I'm alone... It's like all of a sudden my wife reads in the news, hey, this bikini, you know, clad flight. And it's like, honey, were you on that one? Oh, yeah. You know, and you come home and tell your wife about it. It's awkward as all get out. Or if you don't tell your wife, then it's all I'm telling you is there's no way to win with this kind of behavior going on. And I don't know that I can blame. What? The male dominated sexual pervert executive in this case, Kurt? Unless he literally forced these chicks to get in bikinis and roll onto the flight.
Good point.
Sounds to me like these girls were quite willing or quite whatever.
Yeah, they didn't look like they were in pain or anything. But
I find the whole experience painful.
Amen to that.
I don't see. This is what I'm talking about, though. And then they wonder. Now, let's say that these girls did this flight or whatever, and some football player, you know, reached up and grabbed or touched or whatever. Now, I'm not justifying that at all.
No.
Okay? Be clear. I'm not saying that's okay. Right. What I am saying, though, is would that be the wrong act? Well, it would be one of the wrong acts, for sure.
Yeah.
But would it be the wrong act? Everything was okay until that guy just, well, couldn't help himself.
Went overboard.
See, all I'm saying is we've got this, in my opinion, series of events where we turn our back on God. And that which is sacred becomes salacious. And in those series of events, we cross so many lines it's not even funny. And then we wonder where it all went wrong. And it went wrong when we decided to turn our back on God's guidelines for safety and security and stability and morality. That's when it goes off the rails. And it just gets worse from there. Right? Because then what would happen if one of the pilot invited one of the chicks into the cockpit with him, right? Well, see, what I'm saying is every bit of this has everything ready to go wrong, is my point. Now, what if the men and the pilots, the football players, what if they're like, get away from me, get the heck away from me, get off this plane, you half-dressed woman, I don't want any part of it, my wife's not here. Then what would they say about those guys, Kurt?
They were like Mike Pence, right?
Yeah, they're a bunch of whatever phobes, woman phobe, or whatever. I don't know what they'd say, but they're goofy, they're Christian, they don't trust themselves to be around women. Now, by the way, I trust myself, Kurt. But I'm also smart enough to say, I don't want to be in that situation. If I trust myself, I'll be 10 moves away from that position in the first place, because then, for sure, I'll be safe. Yeah. It isn't about that I don't trust myself, but I'm smart enough to say, I don't want to be in that situation where those things can just, everything is set up to go wrong, right?
Yep.
All right. Anyway, enough of that. Weird stories, though. Where's the women's libbers when you need them, Kurt? They should be protesting this to the high heavens. But they're all strangely silent, aren't they, Kurt? Where morality matters, this is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, celebrities, athletes, pundits, and politicians have millions of fake followers, writes Russia Today. Oh, I guess the New York Times, not Russia Today. The New York Times has this one. And it's a very interesting story, Kurt, when you really study it. Bottom line is they admit that, well, you got three types of Twitter bots, for example. Social media is a, quote, virtual world that is filled with, quote, half bots and half real people. New York Attorney General to investigate firm that promises fake followers. The world's social media platforms are struggling to deal with the fake, Kurt. And they run around and tell you that you and I are guilty of fake news. This is nuts on parade, folks. Anyway, bottom line, it's a big old scandal. The New York Times admitting to it. And I've been telling people for 25 years, you can't trust the mainstream press. You can't trust their, I don't know what you call it, but their, however they project followers or news or listenership or viewership or readership or whatever we're going to talk about. It's all bogus, Kurt, and this is just more proof in the pudding. And I had to sit down at a lunch table and argue with a guy about this the other day. It's crazy. He acts like I'm clueless, and I just have to document it for him, and he comes back and says, oh, good, you're right, good, thank you. Hey, man, people don't realize what a scam it is, Kurt.
Well, you know, fake news is going on, huh, Sam?
Yeah, what would you rather do, fight Twitter or hang out with the bikini-clad women?
I guess fight Twitter, you know, would be...
Or would you rather hang out with Chris Christie on ABC, my friend?
Yeah, I guess, you know, they're tough choices, you know. If I could give some choices myself, then maybe I'd...
No, you don't get choices yourself, my friend. This is a Hegelian dialectic. You just have to go along with whatever we tell you, and if you don't choose A or B, then you're just a hater.
Yeah,
got it?
Good point.
Okay, that's how these people roll. But the good news is, looks like we're one quarter of the way to meeting our goal, writes WND.com. They got a $200,000 challenge. They're a quarter of the way there, my friend.
Yeah, that is good news.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, it just shows you how there's good folks out there.
Now, you would think we'd be haters and we'd be all mad at them, Kurt, because we're not getting the cash. But we don't work that way, do we, Kurt?
No.
We're happy for the other guy.
Yeah.
And I hope they get closer to their goal, and I hope they meet their goal and smash it. And I hope we can meet our goals, too. And I hope people decide that we're of enough value to fund us, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. And I hope we can get the funding we need to grow and prosper and everything else. But we're happy for the other guy when it happens for them. And yeah, that's $50,000 to World Net Daily so far. And I hope they can meet their $200,000 goal. By the way, they put a $100,000 goal, and then I think they beat it. And so they, you know, did $300,000. And now they're $50,000 into that other one. And so in reality, they're halfway to their goal, is the way I see it. But nevertheless, I think it's good news, and we want to highlight it and encourage people. WND.com, one of the great news services, in my opinion. Very God, family, country-oriented. And, you know, they do a good job over there. All right, Apple's in the news, Kurt. And Apple told suppliers that they got plans on cutting their production of the iPhone 10 in half in response to lack of sales. Some people say they might even end life of the product. It's going so poorly, Kurt. You got a response to
why
this?
Why is it, do you want to give any, well, at least in my opinion, Apple, if they hadn't made those other ones work so well, you know what I mean, they'd be doing all right. But the problem is they, well, I mean, I can just barely keep up with the stuff I've got, and it's certainly not a, I think mine's a 7. you know, but I'm always finding new things that it'll do. And
yeah, that's right.
Know, I'm just.
Here's my reasoning that I think is not going well. Number one, they're just raising the price to out of the realm of most folks that they just can't justify $1,000 for a phone. For two reasons. One, I'm not so sure that I get the value out of the $1,000, even if I, you know. But secondarily, what if I drop it or lose it or break it or something? I don't have $1,000 to replace it either. And so, in my opinion, we need to be very cost conscious when it comes to phones. I mean, look, you can get a flip phone for $50 now, brand new. And one of these phones costs $1,000. And you got to really think through that dynamic of how much value. You could say, well, Sam, this thing is your GPS. This thing is your calendar. This thing is your email. This thing is your phone. This thing is your web browser. This thing is your radio. This thing is your alarm clock. You can point to a bunch of things that it does. I agree. And it's all phenomenal. But when you add too much money to it, at some point, I just say, you know what? I can't afford it. I just cannot afford it. And that's, in my mind, where the rubber meets the road primarily, Kurt. And a lot of good phones are anywhere between $300 and $700. And when you're well above that, it's going to be a hard sale. And I think that really, in my opinion, this is an example of the supply and demand and what the market will bear. And I think that Apple just kind of bit off more than they could chew on this one. And if they were smart, they'd come back with some less expensive phone options. What they'd do is they'd take the iPhone SE, which is the small version, the least expensive version of an iPhone, and they would bump it up with 8 technology and call it 8SE or something, and they would release it for $300-$400 and watch sales skyrocket. People want an iPhone, Kurt, and people love the technology and think it's incredible. But I'm telling you, there's a price point to where most folks just cannot afford it. I mean, even if I bought one tomorrow, what if it got broke or lost? I couldn't even replace the thing. And then they say, well, that's what insurance is for, Sam. And then I say, yeah, but my phone bill's already too high. Look, it used to be to where I had one phone in my house that cost $30 to $50 a month. Now I got everybody in my family that has a phone that costs $30 to $50 a month. And on top of that, you want me to buy $1,000 phones? At some point, I just say, look, you've crossed the Rubicon in terms of my affordability and realism of what I'm willing to lay out for that. So I hope they cut production in half. I hope they take a hit. I hope they come to their senses and reduce phone prices and reduce cell phone plan prices and I hope they can come to a reality, but I guess their stock's taking a hit over this and everything else. All right. Anyway, anything else on that?
You know, when it comes to the whole Apple thing, isn't it cool that we have so much competition in these areas? You know, in the technology area, and man, it's amazing what these devices do.
Amen.
Can do.
They do incredible things.
I mean, I've seen you use yours, you know. I mean, it's just impressive what all you can get Siri to do for you. And I'm
grateful, and I think there's tremendous value there. But I've got an iPhone 7 just like you have, Kurt, and it works great. And I, you know what? I would love to upgrade to the next version, but at $1,000.
How much, you know, what do you think the cost, and I agree with you on this cost issue. I mean, you know, you'd
it's
think
just too
Apple
much money.
Would be able to be, they'd be smart enough to figure out, hey, maybe we're not selling a bunch, so maybe we should lower the price.
Well, I'll give you an example. The iPhone SE, for example, does probably 80% of what the best newest version does, and it costs $350, Kurt.
Yeah.
Now,
so
it's smaller. It's not as big of
a
screen.
1,000.
And it's not as fast, and it doesn't have as much storage. I'm not telling you it's equivalent at all. Yeah. But what I'm telling you is you still get about 80% of what you need to do done, maybe 90%. It's hard to say because it's a very subjective discussion. But for $350 versus $1,000 or more. And so I'm just saying they're pricing themselves out of the market, and it doesn't matter how awesome or what it does for me. At some point, it's just a risk-reward analysis where I say I can't spend that kind of money on a phone. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. Ben Swan.
When I look at the whole Apple thing, I mean, you'd think these are some of the smartest guys in the world, Sam.
I don't agree with that.
At least in my, well, what I mean is if you take IQ tests and do all that tech stuff,
yeah,
I mean,
then they're really
impressive.
Brilliant. I agree.
But they ought to be able to understand that if something isn't selling well, the price may be an issue. I mean, even the federal government has figured that, not all of it, don't get me wrong, but they figured out that, hey, if they lower the taxes, which means lower the price, they get more business, right?
Amen to that. But again, that's just some kind of street smarts that these folks don't have, Kurt.
I know.
Anyway, all I'm telling you is I hope we can have kind of a sweet spot here, and I think there is one, and we need to find it, and I think sales will rocket when you do so. Just my two cents. Take it for what it's worth, Apple. All right, Ben Swan's in the news with a big announcement. I told you he was going to roll out his announcement on Tuesday. He did, Kurt, and the bottom line is he's back with Truth in Media and everything else under the sun. He says, I'll explain to you why I was out for a year and why I had to kind of lay low at a later date. But for now, I'm big into cryptocurrency, and he believes there's this new crypto cash, this new currency better than Bitcoin. It's just a decentralization future of the world, and he's big into it. He says that's his singular sponsor of everything he's doing now, and it's incredible, and it's just awesome, and there you go, benswan.com or truthinmedia.com to check it out. That's his huge announcement, Kurt.
Yeah.
You have a response to that?
Okay. I wouldn't call that a massive announcement, but anyway, he calls it Dash Digital Cash.
Right. So the thing is called Dash.
Yeah.
And everybody's asking about Bitcoin.
It's got a capital on each part of the word. But
yeah, I know.
Sure,
I'm just telling you the currency, if you nickname it, it's called Cash. I'm sorry, Dash,
you mean?
But yeah, it is Dash Digital Currency. All I'm telling you is that it goes by Dash, right?
Okay.
And all I'm telling you is that, again, I told you Bitcoin wasn't the end-all and be-all, and I'm telling you that Dash Digital Cash ain't the end-all and be-all either. Although every one of those are going to be controlled by governments and move everybody and everybody to a quote, everybody's going to believe it's the cat's meow, the new, solution to everything. But understand that it's just a fake currency, Kurt. It's just a fiat currency like the rest of them. It will be decentralized. Everybody will believe it's the cat's meow, but the governments in 2 seconds can control it, even though it's decentralized. Mm-hmm. And this idea that somehow it's going to be better than gold and silver or better than returning to constitutional currency is just baloney. And I agree that people can get rich on it. And I agree that, you know what, we haven't seen the last of the Bitcoin or digital currencies yet. And it's going to continue to evolve and continue to grow. There's no doubt about Ben Swan's right on that. But it's not the panacea it's pitched to be, Kurt. I'm telling you right now. And you can say I'm just the naysayer if you want. But I'm concerned. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. You want to tell everybody about this Hyperloop technology that I don't believe is reality?
Yeah, they say they're working on a thing with Elon Musk out in Missouri so that you can, right down the middle of the freeway, they'll have these little things where you can cruise along at maybe like 700 miles an hour. I think it'll be a while before you hop into one of those little pod things, Sam.
It's like those self-driving cars I can't seem to get in one of.
Yeah.
Any other tidbits on that?
Not really, Sam, but they're talking about it. They're working on some new things.
And I hope it goes well. I just don't see it coming to a theater near you anytime soon. You got to build a big old tube for this thing, and a lot of the safety stuff hasn't worked out. It's one of those things that sounds great in theory, and it's provable on paper, but I want to get in one. And as soon as you can do that, we'll talk about it. This nation shall endure.